Okay, good morning out there. No, I'm ready. Here we go. Okay, I lost the bird. There we go. Good morning, website folks. And here we go this morning. I was thinking, you know, I talked last week about how we're going to try to do a series, if you want to call it a series or whatever, on things that are foreign. Paul's ways and words are so foreign to today's Christianity. So I thought I'd pick some subjects and we talk about it. But as I just go through this thing, anything we talk about with the King James Rightly Divided Bible is foreign to today's Christianity. So just go back to the website and there they are. Everything that's in there is foreign to what modern Christianity, including the Bible-believing King James crowd. Most of this stuff is foreign to them anymore, too. So now, last week we did Wretched, where Paul says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And how many Christians are willing to admit that they're still wretched? We know that the goal of modern Christianity, according to them anyway, is like Jesus says in John 8:11, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee, and sin go. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." After Jesus findeth him in the temple, John 5, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." See, in all, there's nothing else we ought to be thankful for. It's the fact that when we still follow that flesh and we still do what our flesh wants, and which we do, which we will, we always will, we have the opportunity to choose not, and there's times we choose not. I mean, obviously, we're trying to still be the Christian, but we still have that inner mentality to just... Our day is lousy because we've allowed ourselves to do something we shouldn't have done, or looked at, or seen, or read, or eaten, or, you know, call it what you want. And we get so down about it because we just do. We still have it planted in our little brain that we're supposed to go and sin no more. And we know that that isn't going to happen. We can cut it back. I know people that have stopped sinning in certain areas, the modest, you know, the whole thing that we always talk about with Paul, and they're slowly falling apart. So, is it disappointing? Sure it is. Is it hurtful? Sure it is. Is it to be expected? Unfortunately, it seems like it, that none of us really have the stuff it takes to stand with Paul and to stand with the right stuff and to be a visual testimony of the living, not just meaning the living Jesus in the Gospels, of course not, meaning the living Savior, what he told us to do that pleases God and not to do. And we just let that flesh win every day. And there's reasons for it, but that's not what we're talking about. But that's the gist of modern Christianity. So that was last week, wretched. And we know that Revelation 3:17, this is the direction we're headed. And most Christians are already there. Because this is not the Laodicean church age. This is not the tribulation. They have to go hand in hand. It's the hour of temptation. And in the Laodicean church tribulation age, it is not today. But we're falling away. So Revelation 3:17, which is during the tribulation, says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched." They don't know that. And we got so many Christians today that really don't know that. They've been taught a couple little confessions here and there, and everything's hunky-dory, fine, peachy-weechy. And it's our flesh. Our flesh stinks. It's wretched. You understand spiritual circumcision. We understand imputation. And we realize what's going on here. And we're not going to get away from that flesh as much as we'd like to. Paul didn't. He said, I can't read this from my memory, Romans 7. And it says also, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Well, these people don't think they're miserable. They don't even look miserable. Poor, they got stuff. Blind, God tells them stuff every day. And naked, they earn their clothes every day. They're such good Christians. And wretched, no, they don't know they're wretched. And I think that's a lot of why people don't like Paul. I guess Paul will show them, hey, excuse me, you're still wretched. Your flesh is still sinful, lousy, rotten. Flesh, just like it describes in the New Testament in Paul's books. The stuff that you did in the past, the stuff in your life in the past, is still in that flesh. It hasn't gone anywhere. And confessing isn't going to do anything for it. What you do today will come out in the judgment seat. The whole story. So anyway, that was last week, and that was, boy, I remember the sermon. I was so tired in that thing, I think I almost fell asleep during that thing. So I hope I didn't leave stuff out, I'm sure I did. I want people to realize they're wretched. I'm wretched. My flesh is still wretched. And we try to cover up, and we should. We should dress differently. We should act differently. All the stuff that the women are doing, the work, and all the things that the men aren't doing, they should be doing, that's part of our wretched flesh. And we excuse it, and we allow it, and we shouldn't. Just like Paul says, come on. Get it together. Make those changes in your life and stick with them. Okay, now today we got 10 after... Okay, we're already starting kind of late, but let's get into this thing today. I'd like to do it all this morning, but I'm just... Come on, I realize I probably won't. Which frustrates me because I know some of you won't be back tonight. We're going to talk about pastors this morning. Foreign ways and words of Paul that does not click with modern Christianity. And that's who the pastor is. Who is this pastor that we're supposed to have today? Who are these guys? Who are these persons? Because now we have female pastors all over the place. You've been noticing on the political talk shows, which is probably just a waste of time. I was kind of curious to see what direction it is. They just have no clue, do they? They have no clue. And anyway, Hannity, for example, always interviewing ladies, all these lady newscasters, all these lady historians, everybody. It's just everywhere. So we got them in the pulpits all over this country. We got men in the pulpits that are acting like they're ladies. And their wives are running the pulpit. So just their sheer existence controls us. And that's really a formula for a war right there. But anyway. So let's look at pastors. Let's look at the pastors of the gospel Christianity, as I would call it, I guess. And we'll look at what Paul says about pastors and what that man should be doing for the people that he has a chance to be a witness to. I would call them the bewitchers. Isn't that, is that Galatians, I think it is? Who has bewitched you? I forgot to write that reference down, but let's see if my memory serves me correctly, which it usually doesn't. I got my wife off to San Diego. She's down there, 80 degrees today. We're having probably about 10 to 12 inches of snow today and 7 degrees outside. But she's down there with the grandkids for a fairly length of time here. Yeah, it's in... No, it isn't. Come on, where's the bewitched thing? Where's 3:1? Galatians 3:1. There we go. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth? Crucified. Are you so fool? That's the pastor. That is these people that are bewitching people are their pastors. Now, if anybody can go through this whole thing and listen to this, other than our family right here, if if you try to tell somebody about their pastor being a bewitcher, I'm telling you, they'll stick up for him or her or the wife or whatever because of their family, the kids, the whole spiel. Well, we don't want to hurt them, and he's a good man. I mean, you hear the praise just bellowing forth. Well, our church never heard the praise bellowing forth back when I was an official behind the pulpit getting paid for to be pastor, treat him nice and make him happy type of pastor guy. But... Philippians chapter 3, look at Philippians chapter 3 here. Paul really hits him hard when he says here, Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision," which is part of the circumcision crowd out there, which we look at today as part of the Great Commission crowd because they're talking about the law. Even when they say that Christ took care of the law, they still throw the law at us. And we know, I'll say it again, I got to say it to myself, all things are lawful. So, you know, really when you think about it, so what's the stress here? We can't do anything wrong because there's nothing wrong we can do. Now, there's things we shouldn't do because it's going to affect our judgment seat. It's not expedient, it affects the flesh, power over it, all that kind of stuff, power over us, all those kind of things, those strings. But come on, hey. Run around outside, go what you want, wear what you want to wear, go bopping through town. I mean, come on, ladies. Men, put on those short shorts and be cool. Men, get the long ponytails and the earrings when you're 60 years old. I don't understand these people. Gray ponytails. It's like the old mare. You turn into a mare. Okay, so these are the people that's causing the trouble with a few teachers that I know that would be halfway sort of considered friends, maybe at least we're friendly. The person that's robbing them of the truth is their pastor. So when I see a pastor and they say, "Hi, I'm Pastor such and such," I don't care how nice they are. I don't care how good looking. I don't care what kind of guns he has. I don't care how perfect his family is, because I know it's not. I what's the word? Disdain? You're lying to people. When my mom had her funeral and they talked about the baptism thing, it is a good thing that I was not there, because I would have said to that guy, you lied to my mother and you sent her to hell, you wicked person, you. That's how I feel towards pastors. I'm sorry. I mean, people think that we don't have any law, I don't have any love. I don't. No, Paul tells us, here's the conclusion. He tells us to get away from them. He tells us that. And we worry, I'm just winging now, we just worry because we don't want anybody to think that we're not supportive of our pastor. Well, we're not. Now, let's go through some scriptures. I guess all I'm going to get done this morning is we're going to look at what the gospel Christianity is, the pastor for them, and tonight we'll do Paul, which is too bad because the Paul guy is the guy that's the good guy. And we have to look up scriptures to find them because they're not out there. And then you get the crowd, the pastor guys, that are trying to do both. You're trying to do the soul-winning crowd on the great gospel Christianity, and you're trying to do the Paul stuff a little bit, not too much, because if you did, you'd make ladies be so mad at you, you couldn't preach the next day. And the men, you're not going to wake up the men with truth unless God gets in there, and they're not even looking, so then what are you going to do? Who do you think you are, better than God, that you can get these guys interested? I've been there and tried that. Then you get those that say they're doing it in the Bible studies and everything feels so strong and manly, and then when you go home, they almost crawl up the step and, what do you think of this thing, dear? And then come back at the school meeting or the church officers meeting next week and they're mad. Why are they mad? Their wife made them think. And the wife got mad, and so he gets mad. Been there, done that, more times you got fingers. Okay, so let's look at let's look at 2 Timothy 3:13. So this morning we're going to look at the gospel's Christianity, the normal pastor that's out here everywhere. Even if they're King James guys, even if they're pushing forth. I thought I turned my sound off on that other computer, but I guess I didn't. They can hear me. I don't want to hear me. I don't know why you do, but here we go. There we go. So 2 Timothy 3:13. Let's check this out. I got a bunch to say to these people, so I guess we might as well turn to this thing here. Are they going to listen to this? No, but that's not my problem. 2 Timothy 3:13. I've got to settle down my brain because I just do here. Evil men and seducers shall wax wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, then don't feel so bad for them because they don't know they're being deceived. Okay, if you try to unseive a guy, if you try to deceive them so they can see the truth, these pastor guys, they've got pride. They've got the school they've been to. They've got their guru, their pope that they have to follow. They've got all the books that he read, that he wrote. So when you want to study your Bible, you study his books about the Bible. Again, been there, done that. And I realize now in verse 9 that's folly. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men. And the frustrating thing is these guys' folly is being manifested to this world. People don't want what these pastors are preaching. They know there's something stupid about it. Ladies love it. If it has to do with loving and hugging, I guess the ladies just like to hug everybody else's husband or people. And I guess you ladies just don't have the hate to use the word guts, because I don't want ladies to have guts, but the ladies ought to have enough self-respect and not to demean themselves and hug some other guy. And what is wrong with telling a guy, put your hand out in front of him? I know a lady that does. She puts her hand out in front of him, and if they want that, they shake her hand. And then y'all remember that guy back in Tushy, the guy that wanted to hug everybody, and if I'd had my gun, I think, I can't talk like that. That guy needed to get the snot beat out of him is what he needed. These guys, there's a religion out there. It's based on hugging. They transfer their love from their body to your body. You pervert? No, you don't. You transfer your germs to mine, and I give you evil thoughts. I give you lusting evil thoughts every time I hug you. And there's not a man in this. I'm enjoying my freedom this morning. There's not a man out there that doesn't, when a lady hugs him, doesn't recognize something, and it's not her hands. So that hugging thing is wrong. So these pastors are coming around hugging everybody. Some of them might gotta be perverts or whatever the deal is. So anyway, their folly is being manifest, and the frustrating thing is, and I say to somebody, well, I was a pastor, boom, you're just like them. And no, I'm not just like them. I never wanted to be like them anyway, even before I got a hold of the Paul stuff. But I just want the truth. And these guys are not, these guys are liars and they're seducers and they're evil workers. And we shouldn't be giving them the time of day. We know better. Where's your grace? My grace is in Paul's writings, and Paul's writings tell me to avoid these guys, withdraw from these people, have no company with them. Okay, let's find out what the scriptures, so what we can show here about what these pastors are like. Now, the reason everybody likes these guys so well is because they care for your soul. And they will pray for you. Anytime you ask them, they'll sacrifice themselves and they'll pray for you. And they will study for you because you're too busy. They will tell you what the truth is because you haven't got time to figure it out yourself. And they care for you. Although they'll sacrifice some things if they make enough money. And with these people, the guys that make all the big bucks, you notice how much they don't sacrifice anything? Then you got these guys, there's a lot of pastors that don't make very much money, if making money at all, and they're out there struggling. Well, they've realized, and the family realizes, that that's an Old Testament gospel teaching, that God will take care of you, taught because God will take care of His people, the Jews. I think it's in Matthew 9. Let me check it out here. Let's see, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew, which is right after Apocrypha, our heart. Oh, I could get that out of there now. Oh, I think it was 9. Let me check right there. It's correct. No, it's Matthew 6, which is 9 upside down. And he says in verse 30, these guys are worried about being clothed. And he says in 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, where shall we be clothed? God tells his people, the Jews, he tells his people, listen, don't sweat it, I'll give you what you need. What they need. They didn't need iPods, they didn't need all this money to pay for electricity, they didn't need all this fantastic housing expenses, they didn't need all this insurance stuff, they didn't need they didn't need that kind of stuff. Not that they needed what they needed, and God provided that for them. But look what he says in 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He puts a smile at the end of that thing. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God knows that his people need it. Gentiles, that is in our nature to want more. We want more. I've heard it, and I don't like to hear it, but I know, and this will back. Why do you ladies work? You know why? You need the money. Why do you need the money? What are you buying that is so expensive? I went into the mall yesterday. It was yesterday. Took Marilyn to the airport. I went to the Rapid City Mall, and I haven't been in the mall for a long time, a really long time, and I tell you, I couldn't believe what I saw. It's just I'm such an old person anymore. I realize, I sound like an old person. I went there, and I couldn't believe the way they were dressed. I couldn't believe the way they were scarfing down food. I couldn't believe the stuff that was in the stores and the advertisements and the promises and the lies and the flattery that was going on. It's like, wow, I just ran into the world here, and it was horrible. And that's why you ladies, and I know some of you can't because you need the money. I realize that you have no husband. If you have a husband, he's a jerk or whatever. Or you have a husband who can't do something. I understand all that. And this is a dispensation of grace. I always have to say this because I know I got some working ladies out there. You can't, you have no choice. But if you have a choice, and I know some of you who don't have a choice think you don't have a choice. Some of you have a choice. And you just want the money. And the other stuff is being attached on you. We'll talk about it sometime. That's one of the things that is on my list of things to do here. But anyway, it's folly. People, get back in the subject here. This whole thing of these pastors are being exposed as liars. Their prayers aren't being answered. Now some rich guy comes in and steps up to the plate, and then they say, oh, God was there. No, God was not there. A man, a person, a lady was there with money. And I know what it was. We're trying to think that God will bless us based on doing right. And that's the Great Commission crowd, the gospel crowd. Okay, let's get back on track here. I'm just getting rattly here. So these pastors. Now, in the olden days, back when I was hiding behind the fence at the Revolutionary War, I think most of us know this, that the pastors are the ones that are given the credit for getting the people to grab their guns and go. I've got a book on sermons from the Revolutionary War guys. Boy, they preach some hard stuff. Now, were they all Paul? No. Were they all Great Commission? Yes. And a lot of them were. But you know what they had? They still had guts. And they taught what they thought that Bible needed to be taught. And as a result, these guys got up and they did some right stuff and they got their freedom, da 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 da. Now today, we've got pastors. I had this track. I might update this track. God, Guns, and Guts. What America needs is God, Guns, and Guts. We've got pastors that are preaching the wrong God. We've got pastors that are actually against guns. And we've got pastors that have no guts. They're women pastors. They're women behind the pulpits. And they're leading people. Here's the bottom line of this whole thing that we're talking about with Paul, is they're leading people to the Antichrist. They're leading people to the world religion. And it's the gospel of Christ. I mean, it's all there. It was in our paper this past Sunday, in the Big Town paper. The gospel of Christ in the schools. It's like, no, it's a lie, folks. It is a lie. It is a gospel of another Jesus. It's a gospel of Jesus being taught to the Jews, and you're skipping the gospel that Paul's supposed, that you're supposed to have your pastor talk to you about. No, I know I'm not going to get done tonight, until tonight. Okay, so let's go ahead. Let's look at this thing a little bit here. Let's check my notes here. Okay, these guys will teach us to follow, not us, they will teach people to follow Jesus. We know that. Jesus' teachings to the Jews. I think I got them right here. Yeah. In Matthew, Jesus says, come and follow me. Take up your cross, come and follow me. If my sheep hear my voice, oh, I hear his voice. He's speaking to me, oh, me only. And he says, and I know them, and they follow me. If any man serve me, let him follow me. So they want to serve Christ, they're going to follow Jesus' teachings. Now, somebody type something to make sure I know the sound is working here. There shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So we're to follow Jesus. According, you know, these guys. Okay, well, excuse me. These guys also say to follow Peter. Oh, excuse me. These guys also tell us to follow Jude. They also, see what they're doing? They also tell us to follow John. Boy, for years when somebody were to supposedly get born again, which we know is a bogus term nowadays, to get saved, we'd give them the book of Romans, and we'd give them the book of John. I realize the last couple of years at the fair booth, giving a person a Bible is like giving a little kid a .44 Magnum with no ammo and not to tell them how not to even use the thing. So we try to teach people how to rightly divide when you give them one. Anyway, so you want to, the great commission, the gospel crowd, they're going to follow Jesus' teachings, and they're also going to follow John's, they're going to follow Jude's, they're going to follow Peter's. Peter's the one they use. Peter is the one they use to put the pressure on the guilt trip on people. Peter's the one they use to force a bondage bad marriage to stay together. Peter's the one that they tell you that you better suffer, and here's how you better suffer. You better stand strong because your faith will be tested. Fiery darts of the devil. Yeah, because the devil's on the earth firing darts at you. I don't got time for all that stuff. This Great Commission gospel crowd teaches Acts chapter 2. I know you know this. Listen, this tape's going to be made available for anybody who wants to listen to it out there. And you need ammunition to tell your pastor why you're not coming to go there anymore. I know some of you folks are frustrated out there because you still go to church. And it isn't just what the obvious one is. There's others, too, I hear from. You can't leave their church. You know as a father they're preaching poison. You know, but he's a nice guy. And you street preach with them, or you Bible study with them, or your wife loves her wife, and her wife loves your wife, and your children love your children. You know, it's all there. But you know that that guy is a dog. You know that that guy, amongst his good preaching, he's got good words and fair speeches. He's been to school. He knows how to preach. He's taken hermeneutics and homiletics and Mosey Dotes and Daisies and Bisies or whatever that. However that song goes, you know that this guy is lying to you, some serious lies to your family. So if you can use this to nicely tell your pastor why you're no longer going to go there, is because you're teaching the wrong gospel and I have to do what God tells me to do, and he tells me to withdraw and avoid your preaching. So I'm sorry, I love you, we love you, here's thousands of dollars and we'll take care of you physically, but I'm going to ignore you spiritually, and my kids can play with you still, and your kids are... Did you ever check out the pastor's kids? They're a little off lots of times. Maybe some of it's because they're so abused by their Great Commission father. These kids grow up and hate God. Why do they hate God? Because we taught them a religion. Why are we having the problems I know I'm having with my family? Because I taught them a religion, and they saw that it was a waste of time. And the problem here is, not only do people turn off their pastor and get away from him, they close their Bible and quit and they leave. They got so burned by that teaching. No sound? What? How long has there been no sound? What's going on here? Is there no sound? Hello? I'm going to keep this up for the video if we can't get the sound back here. Maybe there it is right there. There we go. How long has it been off? What was the last thing you heard me talk about? I must have bumped the switch in my radicalness here. What was the last thing I was talking about? Being abused. Okay, we're surviving. That wasn't much. I know what it is. I got my gun sitting over here, and I think I reached over to grab my gun just because it feels so good. And pastor's kids. Yeah, we don't even go down that pastor kids route. They've been burnt. They get burnt by religion. Your pastor's kids are being burnt by a religion. And they're going to turn away from God. They're going to turn away from that Bible if they haven't already done so, especially if the pastor is abusive and lousy father in the home and husband and wife, all that junk going on. Get away while you can. For the sake of your children or just for your testimony. Have a testimony of truth, not just in support of a local church and pastor. Tell, you know, I can't support this guy. He's not right. But just be ready to talk to people about it. They don't want to hear it, but, you know, tell them anyway. Okay, let's keep going here. Acts chapter 2. We went to Acts chapter 2. Thanks for writing the no sound thing in there, White Cottons. I got to watch for that because I'm not going to rattle this stuff up more than once. I'm just, these are like the last times I'm going to talk about this stuff before I roll over and I die into my grave and people come and say, yeah, well, he tried. But anyway, Acts chapter 2, you know the whole story, verse 41 to 47. That's there. This is what they teach. This is what they believe. It's called the Apostles' Doctrine. So read through it. They continued in the Apostles' Doctrine. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs. Great commission. Totally great commission. And they that believed were together. And all, see, we want to be so unified and have such a good time at church, we will come together based on lies and falsities. We will ignore all the stuff so we can be together. We're supposed to be together based on truth, not on grace, and we just love everybody anyway. Paul's different. We'll get to that. Also their possessions and goods. Yeah, right. This is the one part that they don't do unless they listen to these famous guys on the TV, the big guys. They demand everything. They want millions of dollars. And they get it. People give. They just fling over all their monies and their possessions. You do it in the right manner here. Here's the part. Continue daily. Here we go. 47. And having favor with all the people. The modern Christian pastor, he wants to have favor with all the people. Oh, except us. But he'll still be nice to us. But I know I'd rather not talk about this right now. But maybe we can get together for coffee. I'd be glad to talk to you about Paul sometime. Sure I will. No, you're not. You're lying to me. You won't. But anyway. These people are following Matthew, the last chapter of Matthew, the Great Commission. They're following the last chapter of Mark, where it says that if these people get saved, they're supposed to have signs and wonders and miracles, all this kind of stuff. That's it. Now, these people are soul winners. This is their big thing. And they'll go to Hebrews 13. Here we go. Ring of bells. Where's my bell here? Ring a bell. Going to Hebrews. We don't go to Hebrews. But we're going to go to Hebrews. I'm going to show you where they get it from. Again, you folks in the live list here, you already know where they get it from. But if anybody has the stuffings to go all the way through this sermon, some of you pastors that are out there want to check out this Paul guy, this Paulson guy, who's now, by the way, I've been attacked in some miscellaneous books. So I'm moving up to the big time. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. And I've always said I wish I had the rule over somebody, fix their lives and get some of the scum out of their life that shouldn't be there. But that's just flesh, you know. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Yes, wrongly divided, of course, today. Whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation, their walk. Look where they're going. Oh, they're going to heaven. Yeah, the judgment seat is going to stink. It's going to be a huge fire. And nothing's going to come out of that thing if they're saved, if they're even there for the judgment seat. But the better verse is 17. Obey them, there it is again, that have the rule over you. See, tribulation, they will have the rule over them. They will chastise them. They will preach the fire out of them, like the constructionists, like the early Christians would do in America. I mean, just preach the fire. And submit yourself. Submit. Can you imagine submitting to me as your pastor back in those days? Submit to me. Submit to your pastor. And that's what they're doing. Because these preachers say, listen, you come check with me about what car you get, what tie you get, when you and your wife, when you should have children, all that kind of stuff. You talk with me. For here's why. For they watch for your souls. Oh, isn't that nice? For they watch for your souls. That as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I've preached this before. I know what I'm talking about here. I've told people, listen, you better make my life happy with preaching and what I preach and do what I say, or you're in trouble because I'm not happy. That's what this says. So, they put this on you. They make you feel guilty as a church person. You know, you don't agree with the church doctrine. Well, why not? Maybe it's wrong. It doesn't matter whether we agree on whether we should do in this church or not. Do the right thing, Pastor. Don't vote on anything. Do the right thing here. That's your job. You want a job, you hire labor. That's what you want is the money. So they're soul winners. And it makes it sound like we don't care about people's souls. I'll show you tonight that Paul cares about a person's soul. Of course he does. Who's he worried? What's he worried about people getting? Another Jesus. Another spirit. Another gospel. That gives them... that gives them no Jesus. They have the real thing. So yeah, that affects your soul. But Paul is the builder as well. These people don't build. They go on to my next point here. They're church planters. What's a church planter? Last I knew, a church planter was some plants in the back of the church because you want your church to look like Chuck Swindoll's. You want to have that peacefulness. You want to have the green. Your church wants to go green. I'll say it. Listen, you Touche folks, we had a green church back in Touche. We had one of the nicest lawns in town. Never did go to the flowers, right, Marilyn? But the lawn looked nice anyway. I was a weed eater killer. I'd go out there and half those flowers would disappear. But we had a green lawn. We were a green church before green became popular. I got some nice pictures of that place. But anyway, they're church planters. Why do they say planter? Because, see, a planter contains a live plant. So we realize that the local church is a live organism. It's carried on from the beginning when John the Baptist carried all the way through to these pastors, and so there's a living organism. No, come on, give me a break. That's brighter Baptist baloney. Go start another church. Fine. Go ahead. I'd like to think that we get a church out here someday, and if we do, I guess you could say that I got started in Touche because that's where we started this stuff, but not planting a church. Go to some foreign country and plant a church. But that's what they talk about. All the time. And this guy is good at church planting. No, this guy is good at getting people to come together. People are not going to come together based on Paul's teachings. Let's get all the working ladies to come to church then. I'll tell you what God thinks about you working. Oh, honey, I want to go to church then because I want to see what God says about me working. Oh, honey, let me go to church. I want to find out that I'm not dressing modestly enough. Honey, too aggressive, spoken and too aggressive, spoken and too aggressive, spoken and too aggressive, spoken and too aggressive. No, they're not going to get together. You're not going to start a church. Went to Ohio. That was my desire. Let's start a church in Ohio. Well, other than the fact that nobody in the town wanted anything about it, other than the fact that the Baptist pastor in town crucified me before I even got there, as a liar, da 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 da, and the fact that one of the ladies that was involved didn't want it to happen because it was going to change their family and change everything, and so the thing got destroyed. Well, I thought God was in it. I think God is in wherever you go to tell people about the risen Savior. God's in that. But to put together ministry, boy, I learned a hard lesson. That thing was hell on earth for me. The battles that went on from these people and the things that took place. Now, no church was planted. The third thing is these pastors, they get into missions, the mission field, the missions. Well, what takes what's so important about missions? Well, you need to tell people about Jesus. Well, of course you do. And you go out there, and only on the mission field do they allow miracles and wonders. Oh, we had no food, and I prayed, and a monkey came to the door and died, and we got to eat this monkey. We got so many missionary miracles and stories. Why is that? And you've heard me say, I'm going to make it officially here. Why is that? Because the Great Commission was started on the mission field. William Carey, is that right? Think of who started missionary. Great, the father of modern missions. Yeah, he's father of lying missions. They got all these miracles and signs and wonders. So these jungle people, see, God's got to resort back to the miracles and the stuff where the guy can grab the snakes and drink the poison in front of these natives and these foreign people so they can realize that, see, God does do miracles, and that stuff has come back to the churches, and it was started by a Baptist missionary, and these Baptist missions are brought this Great Commission back to America. Now we have to have signs in the church. We have to have numbers. We have to have gain. We have to have blessings to show that your deacon is doing a good job and your pastor is a good man. Well, look at all the people that are coming. Excuse me. How many of those people that are coming came are still coming? Are they still coming? Then either you're not preaching the truth, or they're not listening to what you are saying. Because people don't want Paul. How could you say that? Not now, I haven't got time. But if you read through Paul's life, they'd never want to hear what Paul has to say. But anyway, is it the personality of the pastor? Oh, come on. Get off that one. You know, I realize I'm blamed for so many things. It's like you're just looking for somebody to blame. That's all it is. You're looking for somebody that they did it, so you think they did it, so can you. You know, that's all this kind of stuff is. Okay, missions, miracles, the guys preach church planting, the living organism. It's an organization, but it's not an organism. The body of Christ is Him and us, Ephesians chapter 5. It's not the local assembly. It's just crazy. Okay, oh, I'm just yakking on here. I got not much more to go here for this one. Let's go to 1 Timothy. These guys preach. They correct. Where's my 1 Timothy? Wrong direction. 1 Timothy. Don't you hate it when you go the wrong direction in your Bible? And in Peter's. You're already in Peter's. You're already in Peter's. You're already in Peter's. So you're already in Peter's. So you go to the right. Oh, I got to go back to the left. Got to go back to the left. So, isn't that wild? And then we worry about what people think about us. Ah. We're so insecure these days. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Most of these guys are Bible correctors. They don't teach what it says in the first two verses about the men working. And they definitely don't. They correct words. They do not teach wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in verse 3. The doctrine of which is according to godliness is Paul's doctrine. It's Paul's doctrine. And this is my bottom line verse for me. This, we're going to read what God thinks of a corrector. Changes the words, does it rightly divide. He's preaching vain or profane babblings. But if he's a corrector, which one of them are, the Greek says this, well, the Hebrew says this, and this isn't quite the right word in the King James Bible today. Well, it was good a couple years ago, but now it's not the same. This is what God thinks of these people. And maybe I should just make this one little 5-minute verse here, sermon, and plaster it all over the world here. But God says, this person, your favorite pastor, your loving pastor, he is proud, knowing nothing. Yet he's got degrees coming out of his ears. But doting about questions and strifes of words. They're the ones that make the fuss about words, not us. Now here's what comes out of these guys. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. You're arguing with a person that has a corrupt mind. You ever wonder why I can't get anywhere with them? And if you got people that are your family or friends that are listening to these pastors, they also know nothing. They also are men of corrupt minds. They are destitute of the truth. And you think you're going to hand them a book about the Antichrist, about Obama, and you're going to tell them something that's going to perk their interest? These people suppose that gain is godliness. And there it is, right there. From such withdraw thyself. But he's such a good man. And I love his wife. and his children are, they need help. And maybe I can stay in the church and help everybody see the truth. Oh, laugh that one out of history. That's never happened before. You leaving is a better testament than you staying there and not saying anything. Let's keep going here. Look at Titus. I mean, listen, that's what God thinks of these educated, scholarly, nice, soul-caring, loving people. They're destitute of the truth. He tells us to stay away from them. Titus. He calls them gainsayers in verse 10. Gainsayers towards what? Jesus? No, towards Paul's teachings. Towards rightly dividing. Towards reading and studying and preaching Paul only. Only is the key word here. Verse 10. There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Especially they of the circumcision. That's the Jewish crowd. That's the works crowd. Now here's what he says. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. It says in verse 13, they should be rebuked sharply, and that they be sound in faith. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. Great commission to the Jews. And they're preaching that. That becomes a Jewish fable today. And the commandments of men. You know, the two ordinances, baptism, Lord's Supper. It doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere. It turns people from the truth in verse 14. That's who these people are. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I don't understand. Maybe because as I grew up, I knew there was something false about my Lutheran church when I was a kid. I didn't know that it was a bad. I just knew it was a joke. Now, I've told you this before. They vest. I think that's where they vested the altar of all the stuff, and then the ladies come in and clean the whole thing. We weren't supposed as holy place. What are these ladies dusting holy ground? Why would dust fall on holy ground? You know, my stories go on and on about the lies. The Ten Commandments. I memorized the Ten Commandments, and then one day I found them in my Bible, and they didn't say that. What's the deal? Why don't we memorize these according to the way the Bible says it? Then the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed. All this stuff, all this religion. It's not hard for me to blast a pastor. And they're nice people. My superintendent wants to go to a seminary and be a pastorette. I said, can I talk to you sometime about it? Oh, sure. Liar. No, I'm going to try to talk to her about it. God set it up. I've set things up myself so many times, but everything I've touched has not turned to gold. It's turned into mud. Maybe I'll let God do it for the last couple of years of life. I don't know. It's up to the people to make that choice, I suppose. Isn't that frustrating? As a parent, or even as a pastor in my case, I know what's going on, and the hurt for those people. You care for these people. What did Paul say? The more abundantly you love them, the less you are loved. And we want to do this? Why do we care? Why do we care? Anyway, back to these dogs, these pastors today. It's not hard for me to attack a pastor scripturally. They won't hear it. But it doesn't bother me to say to somebody, why don't you quit going to the church? They're lying to you. You're wasting your money. It's not going to come back in your judgment seat as a blessing. They're going to ruin your kids. They're going to, because your kids, but they're nice to my kids. Your kids are going to find out that there is no power in prayer. There's still prayer, but there's no manipulating God power. There's no physical blessings because you did the right thing. They're going to see that you ladies, they're going to see all this stuff, and they're going to wonder, it's just a folly to them. So it's not hard for me to tell people, well, just leave your church. Well, what are we going to do? Well, men, maybe you're going to have to be one again. Get that book open and try to teach your families. My family doesn't want me to. I know that story. Well, you know, you want to go to your judgment seat right, or you want to go to your judgment seat wrong? I'd rather go right in some areas and try to be doing the right thing. I think I told somebody one time, their family was a disaster. He said, what do I do? And I said, well, best thing to me is for me to say is you just do right as the father. Get in your book, keep it going, but it'll cause troubles. Okay, but at least God is on your side. If you give in and go their way, then you're blaspheming the word of God, the doctrine of God, as Paul calls it. and you're teaching false things, at least be the example. That's all we can do. So men, if you're going to a church, and I know there are out there, make the call. Come on, be brave. Open up the Bible yourself. Do some studies. Okay, turn to the website and study some of those sermons. I guess. I mean, I'm not ashamed of my website. I'm not ashamed of what I've said, and I got some old stuff on. I want to go through this some more and kind of get out some of that older stuff. I'm not totally sure if I have anything left on there. And we all grow and learn. Paul said he hadn't attained yet. I haven't attained yet. I keep learning things the way of God more perfectly. I keep learning more perfectly. Oh, I wish I'd have said that. That was a good thing to say, but I didn't. So, yeah, I don't really like having all my sermons from the last 3 years online, because I think we're more into Paul now than ever before. I'd rather people just get the newest stuff. And as they're going to be shutting down the internet more and more, I probably won't have it on there anyway. But listen, man, you can find stuff to study that you can trust to be true, and God will show you stuff. You don't need my teachings. You don't need anybody's teachings. I'll show you how to read the Bible and go for it. I'll have a Bible college. I'd say 3 months. I could teach a guy what he needs to know, so God can show him the rest of his life what he needs to preach. But the only thing I'd give you would be grammar classes, how to read and read and get something out of those verses. But all you need to be able to do, hermeneutics and. What do they call? They call the study of the New Testament. Yeah, the critical study, the critical thinking. Yeah, right. Okay, let's get going here. Almost done here. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, back to these guys. God's really hard on them. He really puts it to them. He says in verse 13, these pastor guys that are out there, they're false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. There's that crowd. Okay, so I know some of those guys. They say they actually think they're apostles. One's a missionary. Came to our church. Okay, verse 15. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And Paul says your works are full of sin and attached with sin, and you go to hell, lake of fire, because of that. So these guys are ministers of righteousness. These are good people. They're teaching righteousness, right things. Although we also know in these days, going to be more and more things that are good are going to be called evil, things that are evil are going to be called good. And so these ministers who think they're preaching right things, they're not even preaching right things anymore. They're preaching wrongness, wrongnessness. There you go. They're preaching it's okay for what Paul says is not okay. Really, I mean, go through what Paul teaches. Go through Titus chapter 2. And these guys will preach just the opposite. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Yeah, right. When has a pastor ever had the guts to tell a lady you're too loud, you're not loving your husband like you should, and if your husband's wrong, then leave. Loving your children, sure, pass your children on to somebody else so you can go work and make some more money. To be discreet, chaste keepers at home. Where's the preacher have the guts to preach that stuff? What a father. Come on, father, step up to the plate. Do the right thing for your young girl. Do the right thing for your boys. Why teach your young girl to go out into this world, get dirtied up by the world, and then expect her to not like it, and then to have all this money, and to find the right guy to get married? Where's your brain? So pastors are lying to their people, and the men sit there and suck up those lies and pass it on to their family. So if you pull out of a church, yeah, put your belt back on. Maybe get rid of that skirt and put your pants on and load your guns and get that Bible going and start it. Who knows what's going to come out of that thing? But you're doing right when you do it. Okay, we got to keep going here. These pastor people today, these pastors, everybody still there? Not getting mad? Okay. I'm probably bashing your favorite family, you know, kind of a thing. First, these people believe in the gospel from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the born-again stuff. They still think that 1 Corinthians 13:8 is still in effect. What is that? Well, look it up. 1 Corinthians 13:8, where he says, prophecies, they shall fail. Whether it be tongues, they shall cease. Whether it be knowledge, they shall vanish away. But because the King James Bible is not that which is perfect, then they believe that that knowledge, God will still give them that knowledge, God will still give them that prophesying without the Bible. God will give it to them. They still believe that. They believe in 1 John chapter 2 that they're anointed. They'll sit in a little cubicle, they'll go to a lake somewhere, and they'll read their Bible, and I've done this, okay? I'm not saying this is necessarily wrong, but they'll believe God will give them the message for Sunday. And I've been there, I understand how you can find a message as you're thinking, you're driving down the road. I used to write my sermons, I still kind of do, but I don't drive anywhere. Well, I guess I do drive, but not for sermons. Used to write my sermons, I'm thinking of scriptures. I understand my Bible, I'm realizing what should be preached here. I remember one time I changed the sermon while I was playing the piano for singing. Was that the devil? No, I really believe that was okay because God showed me something. He didn't just rattle off a sermon in my mind. I saw something take place in church that morning, and as the pastor, and I knew my scriptures, and I knew that's not right, and I just felt led to preach that message instead. But I still had to have my Bible. I still had to write and divide that thing. So these guys believe they're anointed, 1 John chapter 2. They do. And it says here in 1 John chapter 2, 27, that if you believe you're anointed, then you need not that any man teach you. You've already got it down. I've been accused of not wanting somebody else to preach to me. Preach to me if it's the rightly divided word of God. But if it's not, why do I listen to them? Why do I have to listen to Ruckman and Gipp? Sure, they got some good stuff out there, Doug. Why? They're going to lie to me somewhere. How do you know that? I know them. I know what they preach and teach. I've read their stuff. I've followed them before. Mark, you'll send stuff, and some of the other guys, you used to write some stuff to me and send it to me, and I like that stuff. That was good for me. That was good preaching to me as well. I don't need to find some formal pastor, some formal sermon online, or go to some church someplace to hear somebody else's. No, I don't. And you shouldn't be going to another church to see what he says. No, you don't belong in another church if it's not doctrinally sound. Why are you going there? What's that going to tell everybody else? That you're a flake. That you're a religious flake. Don't know where to go. Well, there's no place to go. Do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Do you tell that to people? Yes. Well, why are you going to this other church then? You're blowing your testimony. Well, they think I'm kind of high-minded. Who cares? They're not in charge of your judgment seat. Okay, you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, and they believe they have the unction. When they get up in front of a pulpit, one of the men pray, and I've had this happen to me, they pray, Lord, give him the unction to preach what needs to be said. Well, what is unction? Unction means you know all things. You know these pastors honestly believe that God will give them everything they need to know in their little minds and hearts? You know what's funny about that? God has already given everything we need to know. It's already there. You folks don't need me. You don't need a pastor. You just need your Bible. Write and divide that thing, and you're in. You'll have more enemies than you've ever had, and I don't even need to help you with them. You'll quit the church because you know it's wrong. You'll put on some clothes, you get up in the morning, can you give me grace to allow me to do something wrong? No, not when you know better. Not when you know better. That's different. And do I know all things? No, but I got a Bible that does. And these pastors are liars. These pastors are deceiving and being deceived. You heard me say that. They present an unknown God, Acts chapter 19. I remember we talked with a man, a male, at the fair booth one time about Hebrews not being to us. He's a pastor. This guy knew nothing about what it is that God has done for us as a Christian, according to Paul. These pastors encourage and push a false worship. Acts chapter 2. I guarantee the first thing that's going to go in your church is your music. These pastors don't know anything about music. They know nothing about scriptures and music. And if it makes you happy, makes you sing louder, let's do it. That's all it is. They're tired of the old hymns. Well, a lot of the old hymns are lies. We shouldn't be singing a lot of songs, a lot of those hymns. But still, there's a worship going on in this world because it's bringing everybody to worship together. Can you go to another church
and worship with them? No, you can't. You're not even supposed to go to your church to worship. You're going to your church to be fed something. You're going to your church to help with the ministry. You're going to your church to be preached at and taught. You're going to your church to help somebody else who's trying to do the right thing according to Paul, and you're trying to be there to encourage them to do the right thing still. Oh, wait a minute. That's not why you're going to the church you're going to? You're going there because your wife has friends there, the pastor's wife? You're going there because your kids are happier there? At least they're going to church. Yeah, your little kids are outside playing in a snake pit. Well, at least they're outside playing instead of watching television. Boy, we can be stupid sometimes, can't we? These men preach corrupted scriptures. They preach vain babblings. Profane and vain babblings. Why? Because they're going hitting righty. They're going verse by verse based on the school they go to. Come on, I have been there. I'm just yakking now. I've been there. I've seen this. And I've even done it. And Paul says in Acts chapter, I think it's Acts 19, that this magnificence of Diana, I despise it. I want to destroy the magnificence of it. In order to destroy the magnificence of it, you've got to destroy that pastor's, the people's love and fellowship of this pastor. Their modern Bibles even say to imitate their pastor. Boy, doesn't that make a pastor feel good? Imitate life like I do. Well, we've tried, I guess. Listen, we're trying to do the right thing. We want to have somebody else do it too. But they won't. Been there, done that. It's falling. Everywhere I know, it's still falling apart. Even myself, my life, my family. The devil is not happy with Paul's stuff. It's just that simple. He will hinder where he can hinder. Is he on this earth? No, but he hindered Paul going to see those people. He can hinder us here. He can keep people from hearing the sermons. He can keep people from the website. He can keep you out of your Bible. He can keep you in your crummy clothes. He can put you back in those crummy clothes because it's going to be a testimony against Paul. He can put you ladies to work to show that whole thing is not practical and it's wrong. He can do anything he wants to us because our flesh still has him. Can we be demon-possessed? Devil-possessed? Sure, it's our flesh. We already are. We're not so clean that we don't have the dirt on us anymore. Come on. But we're separated. We're cut away from that flesh, and we're clean on the inside. And that's where all the blessing, that's where all the joy comes from. But we forget that. We get so caught up with go and sin no more. Because if you do, lest a worse thing come unto thee. Well, that probably will be true. You reap what you sow. Go out there and get a job, ladies. You'll probably find out what those men will think about you. Before you know it, you'll love money so much that if your husband you finally do find doesn't make enough, you'll want to keep your job. You're going to fall in love with money if you already have it. You're going to blow the modesty stuff. You're going to blow your mouth thing. You're going to blow your men. You're going to get out there with these women who you're working with, and I'm sorry, but man and woman together working, it doesn't take much for a guy to realize, well, those are nice. And you get credit before you know it, and you're with them. Devil is out there to hinder Paul's teachings. And he's going to hinder them through our testimony as well as to shut down the King James Bible. He's going to do that. So stand up and fight for this. And the guys that are behind this whole thing, it's those pastors. But you love them, don't you? You know what you ought to try to do sometime? Be a pastor. Have them tell you, that was a good sermon. Have them change their lives a little bit. And then get out of their lives. Watch them go back to the world. They were doing it just because you were mouthy. They weren't doing it for God. They weren't doing it to be right for the testimony of the sake of their children. Facebook is a bad thing, but it's helped me keep tabs with people all over the country that I used to know. Who are you? I know. I've got flesh too. I got my junk in my flesh as well. That's why Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am. He wanted out. I want out. Until I go, let's preach what needs to be preached. See you tonight. Let's talk about what the real pastor is supposed to be tonight. They exist, I think. See you tonight.